This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is a return guest, and we'll be back yet again. Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing out there in, is it Herndon?
Reston,
Virginia. And you can find them at Hinge, H-I-N-G-E, marketing.com. Lee, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Mark.
One of the reasons Lee's back is I have a preference in my ad agency slash marketing firm referrals to people who actually conduct original research. And Hinge has been doing this since day one you opened and started your research? You had to research before you opened.
Pretty much, yep. Since the day I've been involved in it, we've been doing research.
And the Hinge part is Hinge's Open Doors. So, and when you go to their office, you'll see a lot of pretty neat hinges. So, Lee, what's your background prior to Hinge?
Well, my background is actually I'm trained as a behavioral psychologist. And I was a faculty member at Virginia Tech before I moved up here. And since that time, I've become really interested in my career has been in branding and marketing and professional services.
Well, as a behavioral psychologist, you must have had a field day the first time we met.
Yes. I know what you're thinking now, Mark. You're thinking, he can't really read my mind.
But he can, yeah. So it's been a couple of years that you guys have been on my radar, and I don't know why it took that long. But a couple of my friends, advisors, and occasional clients were talking about these reports that you were publishing, and I finally took a look, and I'm going, damn, this is really good stuff. So I want to start with a book that you guys put out, you and Elizabeth and Elizabeth Haar and Sylvia Montgomery, two of your partners, the Visible Expert. So first of all, where did you guys come up with the concept for the Visible Expert?
Well, it really came out of our research. What we were learning about professional services firms is that, you know, if you think about what makes them important, it's their reputation they have. And it's usually the reputation for some kind of expertise. They're well known, they're experts in this, they do this very well. And what we learned is that is often driven by a relatively small number of people within a firm who become highly visible within their marketplace. And that attracts business and grows a firm and establishes their credibility within their marketplace and really has a big impact on them helping win business. And those experts we started calling them the visible experts.
Which is exactly really what they are, because they may not be known to the universe at large, but within the market where they operate, they have a high level of visibility. And because of the work they've done, usually a high level of credibility.
That's right. And what we've learned is that the more stature a person gets, the broader their reach within their market, the more of a positive impact that has on the overall firm. I mean, it even helps them with things like recruiting and getting referrals from other people. So it really has a broad impact.
Okay. Are there any significant differences between a visible expert and what is termed a thought leader or a subject matter expert?
Well, there's a couple of interesting ones, Mark. A visible expert is not necessarily the smartest, if you're looking at accountants, they're not necessarily the smartest accountant. But what they are is they tend to have a real ability to take complicated concepts and help explain them in a way people can understand. So they're sort of teachers and translators, as well as being thought leaders. Now, oftentimes, because of their stature, they do tend to drive a market, and they always are curious about what they're doing. So almost by definition, they're one of a thought leader. But it's not just that they have the most advanced thoughts. It's more they have the ability to apply those to real situations and explain things that makes them so powerful.
Okay. So let's delve a little deeper here into the criterias for and activities of a visible expert.
Absolutely. Well, there's two things, of course, that you need to be a visible expert. First of all, you have to have the expertise. I mean, you can't just be an empty suit. And we all know and we've all encountered these people who are big talkers, but really don't have anything behind it. So it's not just visibility. I mean, you know, Kim Kardashian's not a visible expert, even though it may be very visible. And so you have to have that underlying expertise to build on. And then, of course, it's the visibility. And, of course, as we know, there are many people who have a lot of expertise and are very good, and they're only known to the people within the walls of their firm or the clients that they work with directly. And so that's really where those two things come together, that visibility and the expertise. That's really the hallmark of those. And actually, it's surprisingly rare to put those two things together.
You know, if it were less rare, we'd probably have a larger gene pool of really cool ideas to think about.
We probably would, and so, we would understand them better.
One would hope.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the activities that experts, visible experts, should engage in. Anybody aspiring to be, you know, one of the things that really irritates me, and it's irritated me for a long time, are those empty suits that you talked about, the people who have a thought leader on their headline on LinkedIn,
uh-huh,
or even on their business card. And yet there's no intellectual property involved here. You know,
right.
Catchphrases, but you know, you don't see them keynoting. You don't see them invited to speak on panels. You don't see them writing articles for the trade pubs. I guess I'm asking for a solution to this problem, and there probably isn't one.
Well, I think that there are those anomalies of people that do that and don't really have a thought, and that just, of course, creates junk in it. And to me, someone having visible expert in their title or having expert or thought leader in their title is a little bit like, you know, in high school telling everybody that you're popular or telling everyone you're attractive. I mean, that's for other people to judge whether or not you're an expert and you're a thought leader, and not for you to self-proclaim.
Right. So if you are indeed one, you won't have to plead with a reporter or an editor to carry an article. That editor will call you and say, hey, you know, I've got some questions about this. I'd like to interview for this article, or will you write a piece? You know, same thing with conference producers, et cetera.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and it is true that early in one's career, or when you're getting started in that, you may need to get it out and expose your ideas through the kinds of things you do that make yourself visible. But as you develop that visibility and that expertise, you're absolutely right. The opportunities come to you and not vice versa. And it becomes more a matter of choosing which ones are the appropriate ones rather than having to generate new ones.
Exactly. Let's get into that on the next segment. My guest today is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing. Again, you can find Lee at Hinge, H-I-N-G-E, marketing.com. I suggest you do so. A lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about today is available on the website. He's got a lot of Hinge has a lot of free downloads. They've got a great newsletter. So go to the website, take a look around. I very much suggest getting a copy of the book, The Visible Expert. But, you know, I'm teaching a class at a graduate class at George Washington University this summer, and about four of the articles that are required reading are downloadable from Hinge. So There's your commercial, Lee. So, unsolicited testimonial.
There you go, the best kind.
Indeed, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So let's talk about the I mean, you've already kind of touched on the components of the Visible brand or the Visible Expert brand, but what specific activities really should be involved? And again, for the newbies, you know, you're not going to be the keynoter at an event your second year in a market. So, you know, put it on your bucket list and work toward it. So take it from there, please.
Okay. Well, one of the first things, and probably the single most important thing, is you need to understand what you're going to be an expert in. Many people make the mistake of trying to be a very broad expert in something like IT security, which is way too broad a category. So if you want to become visible faster, narrow your focus. And, 20. And of course, you have to, and it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, you have to really care about the topic you're going to be an expert in, and you have to go deep enough so you really know what you're talking about. You don't necessarily have to be the smartest person in the world on a topic, but you need to be an expert if you're going to be a visible expert.
Right. 20 years ago, being an expert in IT security would have been an area.
Exactly.
But as the
now,
market.
Yeah. Now you better be a lot more specific than that. Otherwise, you're going to get no traction.
Right. So many small companies, you know, 20 people firms claim, you know, well, we're a systems integrator, just like General Dynamics. You know, I don't think so.
Right. Right. Exactly.
All right.
And,
so,
and that's really important because that's a big accelerator.
So the differentiation, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
Make sure that you know what you're going to be an expert in. Then the second thing you really need to understand is how to communicate that expertise. And as we were talking about in the last segment, it's not showing off, and it's not marketing materials that are communicating that expertise. It's really educating people, explaining things to them. And, of course, the people you want to explain it to, you know, if you're a physicist, you don't want to explain it to other physicists. You want to be able to explain it to the people who are going to hire your company for the expertise you have. So it's really focused on explaining it in a way that your target client can understand and helps educate them and understanding it. And if you take a complicated subject and you can explain it in an understandable way and give a person new insight, they'll follow you anywhere, you know? That's what people are looking for.
Okay. That would explain, well, never mind. you and I have both had people who've been reading our stuff for years, so kind of explains that.
Yes. And then the third thing is understanding which channels you need to. And by channels, I'm using marketing jargon to say, should you be on social media? Should you be speaking? Should you be blogging? Should you be doing articles? And the answer is fundamentally yes, you should be doing multiple things. But choose the things where your potential clients or the people who influence those potential clients, where they are, where they're reading. You know, maybe it's a magazine trade publication like Government Technology or Washington Technology, for example. Maybe it's a blog that is specifically around that particular topic that you're writing about or you're interested in about. And so understanding where your clients are is an important next step, so you can develop a plan of being in those channels that your potential clients are.
Okay.
The interesting thing we found out is that most visible experts do multiple things, so it's not generally one thing. So there is writing, and their blog posts and articles tend to be what you see a lot of, and they tend to be a good way to get your visibility up there. But there's also other channels, such as webinars, videos, and these other kinds of communication channels in person. All of these things make sense to help get the word out and educate people about your insights from your expertise.
Okay. What about accessibility?
Need to be where people are looking. That's why almost all visible experts are on LinkedIn, for example. And I know that that's one that you're a big fan of, Mark, and I think it's, you know, if you're in professional services and you're not on LinkedIn, you're probably missing the boat there.
Okay.
And so social media is important, as is being available on all the directories, having a very solid website that describes your expertise and what you do. All of those places are important so they can find you wherever they look.
Okay. Let me talk about accessibility in another way then. What if people want to ask you questions about what you write? So if you have your own blog, hopefully people will comment, or you have the comment function. But take that, please.
Yeah. That's a great point. I think if you think in terms of being helpful, the more helpful you are, every person you're helpful for is planting a seed. And whether that person is going to use your services directly or just mention it to someone else, that's an important thing for you to do. And some people, and it kind of relates to accessibility and asking the question, some people are concerned about, you know, giving away the secrets. You know, if I tell everybody what I know and I answer their questions, they won't hire me. Well, of course, that's so last century in the thinking, because the simple fact of the matter is people can find answers online to most kinds of questions. So if you're not answering the question and you're not showing your command and mastery of the subject matter, someone else will be. And who are they going to turn to when they do need help?
Well, the other part of that is, in a 10-minute conversation or a 5-minute conversation or even a series of emails, how much can you give away? If you only have enough to fill up, you know, 2 emails, you're not much of a visible expert.
Yeah, you fail on the expert part of it.
Right. Visibility occurs, but, you know, the standing room only show is going to have a short run.
Yes.
So the length of time it takes to build these platforms seems to frustrate some.
Mm-hmm.
Is, number one, are there any shortcuts?
Yes, there are. To kind of put it in perspective, Mark, when the visible experts we looked, on the average, it takes them about 5 years to go up one level of visibility. We've developed a scale of 5 levels of visibility, where a 1 is the person who's known only to their colleagues and immediate clients, where a 5 is someone who is almost universally known, like a Warren Buffett or a Steve Jobs or someone along those lines who's universally known across society. And to go up one level of expertise, it generally takes people about 5 years. But we found that there are some shortcuts people can use that reduces that time to about 1 year to go up a level in terms of visibility. And there's 3 things that make for the shortcut. Number one is where we talked about earlier, is having a well-defined, relatively narrow specialty. That dramatically accelerates. The second thing is what we'd call content marketing, or sharing your content through blogs, through emails, through podcasts, through whichever way or as many ways as you can share it into your target audience. Doing that on a systematic way, that accelerates your blast. And the third one is doing a book, is having a book. And if you do those three central things, that really accelerates the rate at which you can go up in terms of visibility.
Yeah. My first book didn't come out until I'd been in business for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it really did take me to a different level in the market. I would have people call me from various places around the country and just say, hey, you're not going to believe who's holding your book up on stage and saying, don't know this guy, but you got to get the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty cool stuff.
It is. It is very cool, and it really is a great way to demonstrate your expertise in something really tangible that you can literally put your hands on and say, this person knows what they're doing.
Yeah. And you know, let's pick this up on the other side of the break so I can coalesce my thought here. So you're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm speaking with Lee Fredrickson, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing. We're talking about a couple of his publications, the book, The Visible Expert, which is available on your website, on Amazon, all of the usual places, Lee.
Indeed.
The Visible Expert, the authors, Lee Fredrickson, Elizabeth Haar, and Sylvia Montgomery. And then I'm assuming this is a relatively recent report on referral marketing for professional services firms.
Indeed, it is.
Downloadable at the website?
Indeed. Free.
Yep, there you go. And you know, there's a lot of free stuff there. And let me back up one second before we migrate on here. Lee's firm helps professional services firms primarily. But what we're talking about applies literally to anybody in any business seeking that subject matter expert, visible expert platform. So when Lee says professional services firms, it's not restrictive. Everything we're talking about applies to literally all of the above. So the one last thing I want to touch on on Visible Expert before we migrate to the referral report is the necessity to be a continuous learner. So your thoughts, please.
It's essential to it, and you have to have a love of learning and a love of your topic. And what I've found is that when you start to get into a topic, and as you learn more and you become more of an expert, you actually get more curious about it. And the more you learn about it, the easier it is to explain it and convey it. And I think that's a point that shouldn't get lost, that if you feel like this is work and you really don't want to learn about it, you might not really be the right kind of a person to be an expert in something. All of the visible experts we sound really are enchanted by their subject, and they're in love with learning about it.
Well, you may also pick the wrong niche to be an expert in.
Indeed.
We don't hit a ball out of the park the first time. So if you're not happy, migrate.
Exactly.
So give me the quick overview of the referral marketing report before we take a deeper dive here.
It's one of the things we were looking at in our research. We found that most firms are really relying on referrals as a way to get new business. So we asked ourselves, well, what really drives the referrals? And what we found out, and we looked at both people who made referrals and who received referrals, is that there is a whole category of referrals comes from people who you haven't worked with. not your clients, not another professional who's worked on it, but people other than your clients. And we got real curious about that and said, well, who are these people that are making the referrals, and why are they making these referrals? What is it you're doing that either accelerates these referrals or slows them down? As a matter of fact, over 80% of professionals get referrals from individuals they haven't worked with directly.
Yeah, it's weird because I got one of those like 2 days ago over the weekend, and and it just kind of boggled my mind. You know, this guy knew me from LinkedIn. He may or may not have attended one of my seminars, you know, several years back. I can't remember, but but one of his clients was looking for something specific to the government market. So this guy emailed me, copied the other guy on it, and did an e-introduction and said, you know, basically take it away.
Yeah, it's true. And it's sort of the a business development dream come true that people are making referrals to you based on what they know about your expertise through how you through what you've done to make that visible to the world.
Well, the you know the visibility factor. You referenced my fascination / love affair with LinkedIn. It's a love hate affair because they keep changing things and it bothers me. I write about the good and the ugly there.
Yes.
But you know, since I've been posting on LinkedIn, I had a really good profile before they allowed you to post. It's not bragging. It's fact. But since the posting, I've been getting more and more inquiries directly through LinkedIn. Do you find something similar?
Indeed. As the visibility goes up of what you're doing, getting people contacted that you don't even know, you've never met, but you've demonstrated what you're doing, so they contact you. And, you know, I find myself doing the same thing in reverse, Mark. You know, when I'm looking for a service or a product or something, you know, I'll go online, I'll check them out on social media, I'll find someone that looks worthy, and if I check them out and their profile on social media is non-existent, I'll probably never even call that person.
You know, it's amazing the number of things that can take a person or a company off a list.
Mm-hmm.
So not having the profile, what I find worse is having a poor profile.
That's right.
So if you're, you know, if your photo on LinkedIn is you with buddies at a bar, you know, you're definitely never going to get a call from me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the interesting things we found out that really drives home that point you're making, Mark, is that about 50% of the people say they ruled out referrals. The people they've been referred to, they ruled them out before they even talked to them. You know, and we hear all the time people say, well, just let me talk to, you know, someone who's interested and, you know, and I can turn them into a client if I get a chance to talk to them. Well, what they don't realize is they're getting referrals, and in great deal of likelihood, that person never calls them up because they've already ruled them out.
And the social media activity could be one reason?
It absolutely is. The way people check you out, the most likely thing they do is look at your website. That's almost as close to a universal as it gets.
Okay, so number
one. The second most likely thing is they ask around about you. They ask people. And then they Google you. They look you up on social media. And if you're not showing up on those places or they get the wrong impression, they're not going to follow up.
Okay. So website's number one. I'm assuming you can just Google somebody too, and hopefully the first couple of things that'll pop up are the website and any social media activity, particularly LinkedIn.
Right, that's right. Googling you and social media are the big three of things that you can control what people say about you and who you know, that's a result of the amount of visibility that you've built up and whether you're the real deal or just an empty suit.
Okay. And anything else on the why people are ruled out? I mean, we're actually doing my questions backwards here. We'll get on to the three types of referrals on a next segment. But is there anything else on the why somebody would be turned off?
The biggest single reason people get ruled out is they couldn't understand how you could help them, how they could help me or my firm. That's the biggest single one. And then the second biggest one is the material seem more focused on selling than helping my firm. You know, think about that. If they went to your website and your stuff was all about selling, and not really being helpful, they never call you.
Okay, and for services, that is huge. And even for product companies, mm-hmm. a lot of product companies, you know, resellers, value-added resellers, have a service component to it. So you really have to delve into how you can leverage the products and the services that you have to resolve issues.
Right. If people can't see themselves on your website, and I don't mean literally, I mean if they can't see their issues and how you can help them with those issues, why are they going to waste their time talking to you?
Okay. Well, we are going to delve into the three types of referrals after the break. You're listening to MTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower again. My guest today is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing out there in beautiful Northern Virginia. And Lee, the referral marketing for professional services report references three types of referrals. So I'm just going to toss them out and you tell me what they are and how they occur. The first is the expertise-based referrals.
Right. And these are referrals from people other than your clients, other than people you've worked with. And the expertise one comes from someone hearing you speak, reading a blog post, reading a book, or hearing you interact or watching you interact on social media, where they said, this person knows something about this topic. Then a friend or a colleague or someone says, hey, do you know someone who knows about this topic? And, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was at this seminar or I attended this webinar or I read something about it. Here's the person's name. So that's an expertise where they know specifically what you're an expert in. The second kind is more of a general reputation-based referrals. That's the kind of thing like, I hear that that person's really good. I don't know that much about what they actually do. You know, I've never worked with them. I don't know. But I've heard a lot of good things about that firm. You know, that firm's really a good firm. And that is not as helpful as an expertise because you don't know specifically how they can help you. But it's still a pretty prevalent way. And then the third type of referral is the kind that you get from someone you've met. You've met them at a networking event. And, you know, interestingly, that's less than 6% of these referrals you get comes from someone you've met. So that if your whole referral strategy is going out and meeting people, that's probably going to be a pretty inefficient way to do it because that's where most of the referrals come from your reputation or your expertise and not from people you've met but haven't worked with.
That's funny because I have an anecdote that I refer to occasionally. I've been at a couple of networking events in Central Maryland. This one accountant shows up, and he doesn't really talk to anybody. He just walks around from clutch to clutch handing out his business cards, mm-hmm. and then he leaves.
And perfect example of how not to do it.
I mean, Joe Smith accountant. Well, do you specialize in any areas, Joe Smith? My clients are in government contracting. Oh, yeah, I do that too.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, you know, it's so interesting, Mark. I think a lot of marketing is counterintuitive in the sense that emotionally people don't want to specialize because they feel like, oh, that's going to rule out somebody won't hire me because I'm not a specialist in what they're doing. So they pretend like they can do everything and they're good at everything. And, you know, maybe 50 years ago that was okay. Maybe you could do that by just being an accountant or just being an IT person or something. That it's not that way anymore today. Well, you know, people want to have somebody who knows how to solve their problem, who understands what it is, not just somebody who could vaguely do it.
Right, or ad agencies that have formulaic approaches to things. You know, one size sort of fits all. We'll just adjust it here and there. One of the reasons that I've referred companies to you is that I know you do something radically different. You do a lot of research on them before you actually start saying, you know, what they should be doing. So you research, I don't know everything you research, but I'm assuming you research, you know, who their current clients are, who their former clients are. You definitely look at the website and their industry niche, et cetera. But, you know, the feedback I've gotten from the referrals has been quite good. And oddly enough, we're talking about referrals.
Right. So. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. One of the things I learned as I was studying psychology is if you have the diagnosis wrong, if you're trying to fix the wrong thing, no matter how good you are, you won't be successful.
Okay. So was what you said previously all of the experience-based stuff, or did we go through quickly the other two?
Basically it's either those who understand your expertise, mm-hmm. those that understand your reputation,
right,
or those that you've met.
Right.
And, you know, and those are all kinds of referrals you get from someone other than a client.
Okay. How are there any ways that you can encourage particularly people you've worked with before, or let's say, you know, I get a lot of people who say, you know, they've read you know, one of the books. I had an email last week from a woman who said, you know, the selling to the government helped her get her job. It helped her prep for the interview. So yeah, that's pretty cool. But is there any way that you can legitimately encourage referrals in any one of these categories?
Well, there are a couple of things you can do to remove any confusion. I mean, sometimes it's people need to understand that you do offer a particular service or what kind of things you would accept referrals for. So they need to understand how you apply your expertise and, you know, who's an appropriate referral. So that's a good thing. But beyond that, we find that the thing that is most important is to continue increasing your visibility. That's by continuing to do the speaking engagements, continuing to be active on social media, and doing those things that increase the visibility. That's what really drives referrals, and not asking, you know, not keep asking your clients, please give me a referral, please give me a referral, please give me a referral.
Right. So one of the things that I like for my clients to do when they engage in discussions on LinkedIn, or when they just start group discussions on LinkedIn, I always encourage them, when somebody says something on their post, always acknowledge it, and when it calls for it, comment.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
The engagement factor again.
It is. It's tremendously important, and you know, I see it very regularly. If you comment on that and you ask a question back and allow the other person to explain what they do and their view on it, and you engage in a dialogue, really care about what they have to say, it accelerates relationships, just like it does in face-to-face. I mean, if it's about developing a relationship and having a dialogue, you make a friend and a colleague. If it's all about, what can they do for you, then you're just annoying.
Yeah. So the one-way streets rarely work.
Exactly.
So give me some final thoughts here.
Well, I would say the final thought is that people lose about half of the referrals that are made to them. That then the problem is you never know it because they never contact you. And the way they lose it is through trying to be everything to everyone. So be true to what you are really good in. Go deep in what you're good in and share what you know with the world, and you'll get a steady stream of referrals for the appropriate kind of clients.
Okay. So one more time, Lee Fredrickson, Hinge Marketing. You can find him at Hinge, H-I-N-G-E, marketing.com. You can find him on LinkedIn, and his last name has no C, so it's Frederick, I-C-K-S-E-N, Lee Fredrickson. And I suggest you reach out. I definitely suggest you go to the website and get some of the research materials. It's extraordinary stuff. And even though it says it's for professional services firms, I find that most of the concepts here and the research presented is applicable literally across the board. Lee, thank you so much again for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
And we'll do it again soon. This is not my day job. I host the Government Market Master Continuing Professional Education Forum in Columbia, Maryland. We host workshops every month. August, we are doing our subject matter expert platform half day. And in September, we'll be doing the PR and content marketing. So look me up on LinkedIn. You'll find the information. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.